step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. You're brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Jeff Malinoff, and with me is Mark Souza. We got some things to talk about in the world of baseball, some free agent moves, possible trades, and so on and so forth, and some things about the old gambling tricks that happen when it comes to baseball. So, the question now remains, what is our first topic of discussion,
Mark? Josh Donaldson, he has been signed by the Atlanta Braves. 1 year, $23 million.
Wait, what? Wait, 1 year?
1 year.
For $23 million.
$23 million for the all-star, former all-star third baseman, Josh Donaldson. We know he had some problems last season. We know he's had some problems staying healthy in his career. But he will now be manning third base for your Atlanta Braves here.
$23 million in 1 year sounds a little too much, don't you think?
It's only 1 year.
$23 million for 1 year.
I think that's a good signing if he can stay healthy, somewhat healthy. I mean, we are talking about a player who is quite a player when he can stay on the field. That's his problem.
Is that why they signed a 1 year deal? Because he is injury prone and they don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Remember, this is a 2015 American League MVP. I know it's $23 million, but it's only 1 year. I mean,
and if it's 2018.
Yeah, if he gets
2019 is when the season starts.
Yeah. It's no risk though. I mean, I like it. The Braves are division champs. And they're not just resting on their laurels here. They're going out making a big move because you know as well as I do, this has an opportunity to definitely be a big boost to their club.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, this team can only look upwards. I mean, they started out great last season. They won their division. They went to the playoffs. Yeah, sure, they lost, but the only way looking is up for these teams. That team, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You put him in that lineup, and, you know, when I'm looking at their lineup, maybe you see it differently, but I see him batting fourth behind Freddie Freeman. So when I look at it, I see Acuna, Albies, Freeman, Donaldson as your 1-2-3-4. Maybe Inciarte is up there too in the top four, but that's a good top of the lineup right there. That's a really solid lineup.
Yeah, if everyone remains healthy, though.
Right, right.
How many times have we seen these awesome lineups and then it just gets destroyed due to injury?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's always the health factor, especially in baseball, which has always been weird to me. It seems like baseball players are hurt a lot compared to their other sport counterparts.
Well, they play 162 games.
This is true. But it always, like, amazes me when baseball players are hurt. Like, at such an incredibly high rate. And I think it's bad for the game a little bit, you know? When you see these high-level superstars not being able to perform, it makes fans stay at home, maybe tune in a little bit less. But a guy like Donaldson, he's had his issues for sure. Interesting to me, though, is that I feel like this move kind of puts more pressure on their division rival counterparts. What do you think about that?
Yeah, definitely. I would say this puts a damper on them. And honestly, if you can hurt a team in your like that is competing for a playoff spot as much as you are, it helps without question.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, like, we hear the Phillies are trying to bring in one of the top two prize free agents, and that would be, of course, Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. It does put a little bit more pressure on them, I feel like, to make a big move like that, because you're already chasing the Braves, and Donaldson has a chance to really put this team over the top. I mean, when you look at the playoff teams from last year in the National League, this is a move that I think could actually put them over a team like L.A., mm-hmm. like Milwaukee. Much. You know, they're right there. We can't forget how great the season was for the Braves, and they have a lot of young players. So, yeah, some people are worried about how this will affect their really good young player, Camargo, excuse me. I want to say Camargo. And he is a really good third baseman. He proved last season that he could be an everyday player. So some Braves fans, some Major League Baseball fans are worried that that'll take away from him. But it sounds like the Braves envision Camargo as more of a utility type player, like a Marwin Gonzalez for Houston. A player they can play at second, third, shortstop, outfield, maybe 5-6 different positions. So with that being said, that gives this roster a lot more flexibility with the Donaldson addition, wouldn't you say?
Oh, without question. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt in that in my mind about that. And, you know, again, the Braves are coming off a division victory. And, yeah, their division's sort of weak, but anything will help to boost up your team, especially in that kind of division, take advantage of it. And who knows, we might see them in the World Series in a couple years from now.
And when you look at the division, it's like the Braves have this incredible amount of young talent right now, while the teams like the Nationals, the Mets, the Phillies, they don't look like they're ready. Those teams don't look like they're competing right now. They look like they're still a year or two away from getting back. And the Marlins, of course, are in that mix too. But would you say that there is a division that seems to be, I don't know, less wide open than this one?
Yeah. It could be anyone's division, sure. But I don't know. It just feels like the Braves are going to take it again, doesn't it?
I mean, it definitely looks like it's their division. I think a lot of people were shocked that they won the division this last year. They kind of came out of nowhere. Their young players not only played, but they played very well for this team, and they boosted this club to new heights. You know, obviously they had Freddie Freeman, who is a player who's always been a great player in the middle of that lineup and over at first base. But the youthful talent that they have with the addition of Donaldson, I don't think this team is done either. They could add another piece, maybe pitching. They'd be looking at boost that starting rotation. What do you think? Do you think the Braves are done, or do you think that they'll be looking for more deals?
I think they'll be looking around, but I don't think they're going to make any, like, I don't think they're trying to make any wild deals. I think they're going to try at least to do what they can in the free agent market because there's so many players available, but I don't think they're going to try and break the bank or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have plenty of talent on their own.
Yeah, it always helps too when you have a collection of young talent, because young talent equals cheap talent. So it does offer the Braves flexibility to go get a guy like Donaldson for 1 year, $23 million. Do you think this takes them out of the Bryce Harper conversation? I know that they had their name had been flirted out there a little bit about, I don't know, maybe showing some interest. We know the Braves aren't necessarily a big spinning club, but
I don't think it takes them away from giving him an offer.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's still worth an offer. He's again 1 year, $23 million. It sounds like a lot, like I said before, but you know you could still probably pay Bryce Harper some good amount of money if you have some money left over.
Right. Are you surprised that Donaldson went to Atlanta when you heard the news?
No. I expected him to in a lot of places, and you know, I think it was just whoever offered the most or whoever offered the most lenient money for him. And I think this was his best offer. Like, for such a short contract, you get that much money. I think he was going to take that regardless of what team it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am wondering, though, if what kind of market there was for him. I know the St. Louis Cardinals were talked about being a landing spot for him. The Cardinals are also in discussion for Paul Goldschmidt, sounds like, but that's a different topic. I wonder if Donaldson can sustain his level of production, though, not just with due to staying healthy, but, you know, he is getting a little bit older now, in his 30s. I'm not sure if he's going to be the same player defensively, at least. Maybe swinging the bat, a lot of things will stay the same. But I wonder if we are seeing a Donaldson that's closer to the 2015 MVP, or if we will see maybe a shadow of his former self type of Donaldson. What do you kind of expect?
It's a one-year deal type of thing, so honestly, anything. It could be a shadow of his former self, could be what they're thinking he can bring to the table, thinking he can bring up even a better record than they did last year. So it all comes down to, well, like I said, if he remains healthy throughout like spring training and going into the regular season.
And I just mentioned for Johan Camargo, you know, a lot of Braves fans really like what this kid is doing. He's come up through the ranks. He used to just be kind of a slick fielding player, but he really added pop to his bat over the last couple of years. And he's showing that he could be a future third baseman for this club. But, you know, with Donaldson, he's a stud, but has injury concerns. I think a guy like Camargo, having that utility player, can really limit to how much stress they put on Donaldson. You know what I mean? Like, they can afford to give him days off, especially during the season, where Camargo can come in and you can expect good production from him. You don't have to rely on Donaldson to be healthy for 162 games to make the playoffs or to make noise. You know, they can take this easy, and I think that we may see the Braves take a cautious approach to how much they use him, especially early in the season. What do you think about that?
Not having him for 162 games and have to be healthy, I agree with, because you can never ask someone to be healthy for that long. I don't think anyone in Major League Baseball could be healthy for 162 games. I think that's too much to ask for, in all honesty. So it's good to have so many talented young players ready to play at any given moment because of that. And, I mean, that's one of the beauty about this Braves team is they're so young and anything could happen with them. Like, they have so much to take advantage of for the next years to come.
Yes, big time. And I know we're talking about the division, but I mean, going back to that, this division is set up where it looks like the Nationals, they may be rebuilding this year. The Phillies, we know, are trying to make a big splash, but it still seems like they're a ways away. The Mets and Marlins haven't been relevant, so it might be a type of season for the Braves where they're not maybe playing contentious games late in the year, kind of like this year. You remember how they finished the season so far ahead of everybody in the NL East that they didn't really play any meaningful games the last couple weeks of the season?
They kind of just cruised without really trying.
Yeah, I mean, it was they walked away with that division. You know, it wasn't a race like the Dodgers, for example,
like, or that walk in the old Hulk TV show. No, 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 no.
The what?
Do you know in the Hulk TV show, and like, I think it was
like Bruce Banner?
Yeah, where it was like, were really bad effects, and he would be walking and hitchhiking, and they go, the piano goes, na 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 na.
You know, no.
Where he walks really slowly at the out like off screen.
Yeah, you follow like a lot of these like Instagram pages.
No, that's
stuff,
that's not like from
these,
an Instagram
like,
page.
These old school like comic book type stuff.
I like comic books, but I liked that was a TV show from I believe the 70s.
Oh no, I know what you're talking about, but I mean, like, did you Was this like a meme that you saw?
No, I just always thought it was funny.
Okay. I'm with you. Maybe you'll show me in break or whatever, but are you saying that Josh Donaldson is the Hulk of this lineup? Is that what you're saying?
I was just making a reference to Bruce Banner, not the Hulk. So maybe he's Bruce Banner of this lineup.
Some people are calling this the second biggest signing in Braves history before, other than Greg Maddux. They're saying Greg Maddux was the biggest signing when he was a young stud coming up.
That's an interesting accusation. Not an accusation. That's an interesting
opinion.
Yeah.
What do you think, though? The Braves aren't really a team known for making splashy moves, right?
Yeah, so I'll say...
They got like a lower payroll. Like, they're in the middle, right?
Yeah, I'll say... That's tough. I won't say... You know, I won't say anything yet until the season begins and how he plays.
Mm-hmm.
So, hold off 1 second.
All right. So, what do you think about we take a break here when we come back? We got to talk about some trade rumors in Major League Baseball. As the winter meetings approach, we have heard names like Madison Bumgarner, Robinson Cano. Those are two of the names we've heard about. Goldschmidt from Arizona. We'll talk about these potential deals, where these players might be going, and if you think they'll will be, if they'll be moved this season or this offseason. We'll do that when we return right after this.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We just talked about the Donaldson move to the Atlanta Braves, and now we're talking about other news in the offseason, as well as the San Francisco Giants are open to trading Madison Bumgarner, their last their World Series MVP, and who's been really a clutch performer in the last couple of World Series for them.
Oh, yeah. You could say... He had the most memorable pitching performance in Giants baseball history.
Yeah, exactly.
Game 7 against Kansas City.
Not just in Giants baseball, but just maybe World Series history.
Absolutely. Are you surprised to hear his name come up in a trade rumor?
A little bit, but I understand the premise.
Yeah. Why do you see it? Why do you understand it from the Giants' perspective? Why would they be willing to trade maybe their most beloved pitcher?
I think it's they need more than just that pitcher, and he hasn't been playing as good as he has in the last since 2014.
Hurt, right?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. hurt, and honestly, like they could use more. They can use more prospects. I think they're looking at more of the future than anything else.
Yeah, they are in a transition period. I mean, we just saw them fire their general manager and hire Zaidi from the Dodgers to come in and be the new general manager. And we know that with the new GM, a lot of times they like to shake things up. They come in with a fresh perspective. A guy like Zaidi, you could see, as he has a background with the Oakland A's and the Dodgers, you could see them trading Bumgarner with an outlook of the future in mind. The big reason why the Giants would be looking to do this is because of the contract situation. Madison Bumgarner is in the last year of his deal, and we all expect that his next deal will be pretty big. I mean, yes, he might have not had the best last couple years dealing with injuries and things like that. He had that freak accident on the ATV. He also had his broken hand from a line drive in, what was it, spring training last year?
Yeah.
Just bad luck in, you know, things like that. But we know that he's a dominant pitcher when he's right. He's still relatively young. Do you think that he can command a big return on the free agent market, though, for the Giants? I mean, obviously, or excuse me, on the trade market, because they'd obviously be looking for some big prospects in return. Maybe MLB-ready players in return in addition to prospects. What kind of market is there for Madison Bumgarner?
Honestly, I think some guys are just going to look at his history and go, this guy is an elite pitcher in the postseason and are just going to pick him for their postseason performances. So I think they can totally, like, they can risk a lot for it.
So do you think that it's going to just be teams that are ready to win now that'll be going after him and
yes.
not? Okay. Because I was reading that the Phillies are very interested. And the Cincinnati Reds are very interested, and I don't think either one of those teams is ready to win.
Well, we might not know what they're thinking of. They might want to win right now, and they think that will be the next step towards winning right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you would be adding a frontline starter, obviously. He would be an ace for almost every pitching staff. But yeah, according to John Morosi of MLB.com, the Giants are willing to listen to offers on Mad Bum. I did mention a couple of those teams. I thought initially, I'll say this right now, before the Yankees traded for James Paxton from the Mariners, I thought the Yankees would be the destination for Madison Bumgarner if he was to get moved, just because of the need, the star power.
The need for speed? Sorry.
The need for pitching, the star power of Madison Bumgarner. I mean, he's a name that would get the fans excited in New York. They could sell jerseys and things like that. You know how it is. But yeah, when they got Paxton, then I thought, okay, well, they just made a trade that depleted their farm system a little bit. I don't see them making another trade that would deplete their farm system
they
further.
They could probably do it again, though.
You think they would have the prospects that the Giants would be looking for, though? Because Justice Sheffield was the biggest prospect traded in that Paxton trade, and I thought that was a guy that the Giants would want.
I think they'll have to give up someone on their current roster to get Bumgarner.
Really? Do you have an idea of who?
No, but I just have this gut feeling that that's what's going to be needed. To
Aaron Judge. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say who it would be.
Can you imagine they did do that?
I mean, that's kind of the kind of player the Giants would be looking for, though. Not him, obviously, but I mean like a power hitter, like an outfielder, maybe a corner outfielder, because the Giants, we know, their outfield is in shambles right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Hunter Pence is gone. Who's playing outfield for them next year?
Unknown at this time.
Yeah, I mean, they need outfielders. That's why the Bryce Harper to San Francisco
is the
rumor.
Most crucial.
Yeah, well, that's why you hear...
For them, at least.
Yeah, you hear the Giants are interested in Bryce Harper because, okay, now you figured out right field for the next 10 years. You know? Now we can focus on left field. We can focus mm-hmm. on. I know Duggar was a good player for them last year at center field, but I'm not convinced that Duggar is an everyday player. I think he might be more of a defensive, you know, replacement. He's a starter. He's a starter, but I don't know if he's so good that like you can't improve that position. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would say left field and right field. So with that being said, I don't know what the Yankees could really offer to the Giants. I don't know, but you make a good point. They might have to get a trade where they get some actual MLB players that are currently in the MLB plus minor league prospects. So
yeah,
the Phillies have a big have a lot of names in their farm system, so yeah. It's definitely a team to think about. But the fact that he's on the last year of his deal, doesn't that diminish his value a little bit?
Because
you're only renting him for 1 year. Unless you agree to like a sign and trade or like a extension after you trade for him, but there's a lot of risk there, no?
True, it is what you would call a risky acquisition. And I think the bottom line is that might put them over the top for a championship, in my opinion, though.
Who's that? The Yankees?
Yeah, if they get Bumgarner. Because they have the offense. They need the pitching, and he has
the pitching. Paxton, who's an all-star, and Bumgarner, that would definitely bolster their pitching. I just don't see it happening.
But yeah, I don't
it would be a splash move, though.
But, they would have to offer a lot. They would have to offer a King's Ransom-like thing for Bumgarner.
So what do you think about, or have you heard, former Yankees player Robinson Cano? He sounds like, at least, you know, this is lying season, I guess, in Major League Baseball, so we don't really know, but we just see these journalists report things. But it sounds like Robinson Cano is definitely on the trade market. The Mariners did just trade James Paxton and get prospects back, so it makes sense that they'd look to move another big contract and get back prospects. What do you think about the Robinson Cano rumors? Do you think that he'll be traded, and where do you think he's going?
I don't really know where he's going. I think they're going to just go look at everything, and if they don't like it, they'll just keep him. But I think they're going to get a lot of offers, I think, from almost every team. So
you really think so?
Cano's still got some juice left in him.
Well, that's
pun not intended.
No, you know what you were doing.
Yeah, I know what I was doing.
So, and speaking of which, he just got suspended 80 games, and he has a gigantic contract. You really think a lot of teams are going to be offering for him?
He's
36.
I have a gut feeling that he still has something in him that some teams just don't. I keep doing these puns by accident. Okay, I just think that some teams are going to take him into consideration.
He's got 5 years, $120 million left on his deal. That's not good, right?
Yeah, it is not good.
And he just got popped. Who's trading for that, Jeff?
A team that can spend a lot of money.
So that eliminates, like, what, two-thirds of the team?
Sure.
I mean, $24 million is like a quarter of a lot of teams' payroll. So it does eliminate a lot
of
teams.
But there are a good number of teams that have that money.
We just talked about Donaldson, and you were saying that that 1 year, $23 million was kind of...
That's a lot for 1 year. That's my opinion.
But would you rather give a guy 1 year, $23 million, or a guy 5 years, $120 million, who's 36 years old? I can't believe the Mariners gave him that contract.
Give me a lifeline.
Can we talk about that for a minute? How big of a mistake is that Robinson Cano contract?
Well, they were thinking they could win now. That's how I...
They gave him a 10-year contract that paid him...
They thought they could be some sort of dynasty. Let's get real here. They thought they were going to be good for years to come, and that didn't happen, so...
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if there's a landing spot for him. I was reading that the Mets are interested in Robinson Cano. What do you take from that? That sounds like a weird fit, right?
It does, but honestly, he could fit anywhere. Wait, that didn't come out right.
He could fit anywhere?
I think so. He's got that talent. Like, he's for his whole entire career, he's been pretty darn good, has he not?
I agree, but he's 36, and whoever takes him is going to pay him $120 million over the next 5 years. That is a risk. And he's coming off a suspension that he missed half the season. I mean, this guy's one away from, you know, getting suspended for a whole year.
True, but I think the fact of the matter is that Cano is a name, and I think guys are going to be going for the name instead of what he is now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I mean, he's been good, really good, when he's, you know, in the lineup. But do you think the Mets are just in this because he's a name, though?
Yeah, that's what they usually go for, and they're like, their history speaks for itself.
It kind of feels to me like it's like little brother syndrome coming out. Like, they're the little brother in the city.
They
need
something big to get over that hump type of thing.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I don't... Man. So they'd put him and Cespedes together. That's a lot of money. Even for the Mets. I don't know. I don't think there's a big market for Cano. I think there's a much bigger market for Bumgarner. I know that both have present their own challenges. Bumgarner, 1 year of team control. You want, if you're going to trade for him, you want him to have 4 or 5 years of team control. And I think that's why the Giants would be looking to move him, to get prospects back that they'd have team control over for 5, 6 years while they kind of go through this retooling. I wouldn't say a rebuild, because they do have guys like Posey and Crawford there that are kind of the catalysts of the team. But for the Mariners, I mean, they're obviously looking to just dump that contract, it feels like. I don't think they'd be looking for a lot in return. Would you agree with that? I don't think the Mariners are looking for a lot. They're just looking
to get rid of that contract.
Yeah, I mean, they want prospects, of course, but I don't think they're going to get like anybody's best player, best prospects for Robinson Cano.
Yeah, true. But, you know, we've seen teams do some pretty questionable things, and this might be one of them, to sign Cano and to trade a lot for him.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe they'll engage in a trade where the Mariners will pay some of it. Like, maybe the Mariners will agree to pay, like, 20% or something.
No way they're paying that low.
The Mariners would pay 20%.
Oh, I thought you said...
Not no, the team.
I thought you said that team bringing them on will pay 20%. I'm like, there's no way. 20% for the Mariners, maybe, but I think at most they would go, like, oh, well, 10%. They won't go too much.
Yeah, well, still, it's a monster 10% of a contract, like,
and if the Mariners are trading him to get rid of that contract, no other reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see what they get. I don't know. I don't think he'll get traded. Do you think he'll get traded?
I don't think they'll get an offer they like. They'll get offers, but nothing they'll take.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Yankees wanted to keep him. They kind of dodged that bullet, I feel like. Any chance he returns to New York as a Yankee and not a Met?
Yeah, I can see it happening. That's what the Mets usually do. They take old Yankee players.
Well, I'm saying, any chance he returns as a Yankee?
No.
No? No, none?
No. No.
All right. Well, any other thoughts on these two players?
Just the fact that these two are going to be a King's Ransom-esque level of a offer to get them. And I don't know if it would be worth it or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, let's go to break. When we come back, we could talk about Major League Baseball pace of play. We know that it's a topic of conversation. It is also a conversation that will be had at the winter meetings. But how a recent acquisition by Major League Baseball can change the outlook of the quote-unquote problem of pace of play in Major League Baseball. We'll do that when we return.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We finished out with the Bumgarner and Cano trade aspects of this offseason. Now we are going into the pace of baseball. Is that what you were saying?
Yes. So the winter meetings are coming up. We know pace of play has been a topic of conversation for years now in Major League Baseball. We saw the implementation of, what was it, a pitch clock in minor league baseball last year? You call it a pitch clock, where the pitcher has, what, 30 seconds to throw the ball?
It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Did you check it out? Did you go to any minor league games last year and see it work?
I don't know. You could watch minor league games on television.
Did you go to any in person?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, I guess. Like, it's kind of funny. It kind of, like, it makes me want to count down because it starts, and then it's like...
But wouldn't that throw off the pitcher, though? Because, like, they need silence. It's like golf.
I mean, the fans didn't count it down, but in my head I was counting it down. If that makes sense. Do you think pace of play is a problem in baseball? Let's start there.
A little bit.
Like, we know that baseball is losing attendance... Losing fans, harder to attract younger fans. We see younger people gravitating towards basketball, NBA. NFL is as strong as it's ever been. Soccer is getting bigger and bigger by the day in this country with the MLS, with the European leagues. We know that Major League Baseball has tried to do different things to spice it up, to make it more appealing, more attractive. So
maybe don't make the season 162 games.
That's another topic. I think.
What do you think
is likelier to change? That they implement rules to speed up the game, or that they reduce the number of games? What do you think is likelier?
Speed of games.
Yeah,
that's just how I see it happening.
I don't see professional sports reducing the number of games because that means it reduces profit, right?
Yeah.
Like if you have 81 home games, that's 81 chances to make money.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to change anything. But, I mean, they'll probably make the games go by quicker. Mm-hmm. Get people home on time and ready for work the next day.
So, Major League Baseball has... struck a deal with MGM Resorts.
They MGM are now, Resorts, you mm-hmm. say?
MGM Resorts is now the official gaming partner of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is now the third organization to align with MGM Resorts. MGM Resorts now has NBA, Major League Baseball, and NHL. The one they don't have, NFL.
Which I don't think they'll get.
Mm-hmm. So, with this in mind, what this will allow is MGM Resorts and Major League Baseball are looking to up their live betting, their live gaming, okay? So, fans at the game, fans at home can now, I guess, more than before, have the opportunity to do gaming, to bet live. Have you ever done any live betting before?
What do you mean live bet? Like DraftKings or?
No. I mean live. Like, will the next pitch be a ball or a strike?
No, I've never actually done that before.
Will the next batter hit a home run? Will things like that? Well, live betting, you can do it across sports.
Mm-hmm.
But baseball, it seems it would be easier because the game is slower, right? Like, you can place those bets in between pitches or in between batters a lot quicker, right? Because once the action goes, then it's over. So, Rob Manfred actually thinks that maybe baseball's pace of play in this regard, since it's slower than NBA, NHL, NFL, will actually help that a slower pace of play. What are your thoughts on that?
So slower play
like keep it where
increases
it is now.
More betting, which increases more revenue for...
Which increases more interaction, which increases
Since
more
they
eyeballs.
Made this deal with MGM, I think that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like that's what's going to go down.
So Manfred said, quote, "Our research is really strong on the idea that sports gaming can be an important source of fan engagement. We operate in a really competitive environment, and we have to take advantage of every opportunity to drive engagement by our fans. Last year, Major League Baseball's attendance dropped by 4%, and it dropped below 70 million for the first time since 2003. So attendance keeps declining. They're looking for different ways to stop that, to curb that, and to actually reverse the trend. So what do you think about this? Do you think that it's a this might be a positive step in reversing that?
Possibly, but I don't know. This just seems like a gray area almost, doesn't it?
So, Jim, I mean, I think this helps. Jim Urin, who is the MGM Resorts chairman and chief executive, said, and I quote, "Baseball is perfectly suited for this. It will increase social networks. People will be talking about the next pitch, the next out, the next inning. It will extend
the next popcorn, the next seventh inning stretch, the next soda.
It will extend the viewership."
Sorry, am I getting off topic?
"It will extend the viewership of games throughout multiple innings, regardless of the outcome or the score in that given period," end quote. So, what do you think about his words?
I kind of see what he's getting at, but again, I see this as a, like, he's trying to just, like, we can get more revenue if the game goes slower. That's obviously what he's saying, and I think he's just trying to convince the head of the MLB, like, this is what's right, and he's trying to convince, like, he's like, hey, look at the other people, they agree with me, so you must keep it that way. He's trying to get people on his side.
Right, I mean, he works for MGM Resorts, so, I mean, he's trying to push this idea.
But I get what he's saying, like, oh, everyone will be more interested as the game goes on because more money can be made. I see where he's getting at, but again, it's one of those things in where you're thinking, oh, maybe this game goes quicker, people will be more betting quicker. Like, there's that other side of the aspects. You got to think of both sides.
So will baseball slow down the game?
Will baseball slow down the game that's already slow?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, they've done things try and increase the pace, like not letting batters leave the box and things like that, right? And reducing the number of mound visits.
If reducing the mound visits, it's fine. Batter's box, maybe not so. But, like, you can do some stuff to quicken the game, but you don't do it all at once. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. What do you think about replacing umpires with robots, huh? What's your stance on getting rid of the human error part of baseball?
I like it because umpires really get on my nerves when they throw out people unnecessarily.
It's like they have an agenda.
Yeah.
A lot of grudges.
Especially, there's like Bob Davidson is one of them. He gets on my nerves a lot. He threw out fans. Why are you throwing out fans? Like, they're apparently saying stuff to him and he's throwing them out. Like, you have the softest skin, sir.
Softest skin? Like, he uses a lot of lotion?
No, it's he's so easily, like...
Oh, like thin skin? Like,
yeah, well, you know, tough skin, soft skin. I meant to say thin, but I said soft, and I'm regretting my decision. He's so thin skin that you can snap his limbs with, like, your fingers.
You threw me off because I was thinking about umpires with soft skin, and I was like, I've never thought about this before.
Bob Davids, if you look him up, he throws out fans, he throws out everybody, and he's kind of he just comes off as, like, a jerk, my opinion. And there are some, and then there's also Angel Hernandez, who people who have, you laughed when I said his name because you know that players have quoted in saying they can't stand him.
And his calls that he makes.
And there was a game in the postseason, this postseason, that he had 8 reverse calls or something. He had like multiple calls at first base and every single one of them were changed.
You know, a lot of people were definitely against instant replay in baseball. You remember that?
Yeah, thank God they have it now, don't they?
I just think about that. You just said 8 reverse calls in one playoff.
Roughly. I'm not saying that's exact.
What you're saying is correct, though. He had a lot of decisions that were wrong.
Yeah, and in a postseason game where it was, that's the most
over crucial. Multiple postseason games. So, yeah.
But there was one where it was like in a row they reversed it on him. And Angel Hernandez was
still working, right?
And didn't he file a discrimination lawsuit against Major League Baseball for not having him do like World Series games? And maybe it wasn't his race or anything like that. It was because he makes bad calls and no one in the Major League Baseball likes him. You can tell no one likes him. Like when,
it's hard to be liked when you're consistently making bad calls.
Yeah, and
let's
put
it
that
way.
When you see players talking about him, they're like, every time he's playing one, he's umpiring one of our games, we all groan. that's saying something when one umpire gets on your nerves. Like, when one umpire's name, you're like, oh, we have to prepare for him now.
Well, thank God for instant replay then, right? Because then a guy like that, yes, he could throw somebody out of the game, but at least the calls on the field will be fixed. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. But I don't know. I just think he seems to be one of those umpires. And Bob Davidson, too, I'm going to add him in this, that just he's unlikable.
What do you think about the idea of having some sort of communication between the pitcher and the coach without mound visits?
You mean like a headset?
Yeah,
I don't know. We've That's heard about not the best idea.
This has been floated before to speed up the game. Do you think baseball needs to speed up the game, I guess, is like the ultimate answer here? Or do you think it's fine the way it is? I know you're a fan of baseball like myself, but think about it from not just your perspective, but if somebody wasn't a fan of baseball, to get, I guess, maybe more more fandom, more fans coming to the game. Like, do you think that speeding up the game would help?
Maybe.
Attendance was down last year.
Can we try it in spring training and go from there?
I guess. But spring training is kind of a niche, you know?
You mean a niche?
No, a niche.
Anyone that watches Boy Meets World would get that reference.
A niece? Or is that what they say?
No. Okay. It's in Boy Meets World, you know that the older brother? I forget his name.
Eric.
Eric, yes. One of my favorite characters. And he's like, I think I found my niece. And the guy, and Mr. Feeney goes, niche. And he goes, niche? And he goes, oh, he's drinking too much. And then he finds out his brother had a kid, Corey had a kid, and he goes, I have a niche. And then Mr. Feeney goes again, niece. And then he goes, niece? Oh, he's drinking again. So that's what I was coming up. That's what I was talking about.
I get it. Some people say niche.
Yeah, I like my reference. I'm going to keep it. But should we take a break?
I guess we can.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll talk about anything else.
We got a new possible new stadium for a team in Major League Baseball we could talk about. Also, MLB announced the Man of the Year.
Man of the Year.
We have a returning winner as Major League Baseball's
returning winner. Oh, all the excitement coming your way right after this. Don't look away.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC podcast, baseball podcast to be more exact. We are going to talk about the Man of the Year award that has just been announced. Who is the winner of the Man of the Year?
Yes, so we have our first three-time winner. It's the Marvin Miller Man of the Year, part of the Players Association.
And Marvin Miller won it again. No, I'm kidding.
Part of the Players Association's Players' Choice Awards. It is 37-year-old Curtis Granderson.
37-year-old Curtis Granderson. Please come on down.
He won in 09, 16, and this year. He narrowly won over Paul Goldschmidt and Mike Trout. So this award is given annually to a player for on-field performance and contributions to the community that inspire others. So in a time, in a world where it seems like a lot of negative news happens, it's always nice to recognize one of the good guys out there, Curtis Granderson. He's played for multiple teams. He seems to be a fan favorite. I've seen him personally play a couple times. He's very good with the fans. He likes to interact. He likes to sign autographs. What do you think about Curtis Granderson winning this award?
You know, it's really cool when you see someone get, what's the word I'm looking for? Get commemorated for some, for his unselfishness off the field. And this is just a great, it's very deserving, especially from a guy like this who's very unselfish in his ways. And you just, you got to love stuff like that.
He's currently a free agent. Do you think he'll get signed this year and play somewhere?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just going to, I feel like he should be more of a off the field guy that still does good for his community. Maybe like works with a team to help them in their communities. You know, like kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm trying to think right now. What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
He should be like more of a, like for, he works with the team, but not as like a player anymore, obviously, but more of a,
like a consultant.
Yes. Okay. Yes. A consultant to the community of some kind, like a helps out like,
oh, you mean like after baseball, like a post baseball career.
Yeah. Like works with the team.
Community outreach or something like
that. Yeah. But is part of the organization that does, he works with other charities and stuff though, so the other players can help out.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a front man for that kind of stuff.
Like a liaison, right?
Yes, exactly. That's the perfect word. All right.
So the Oakland Athletics, they have now identified a waterfront location for a new ballpark. We know that they've had issues in the past securing a location and locking in a new ballpark, but they have plans. So they announced actually this morning that they'll build near Jack London Square along the water. Team president Dave Cavall, he had hoped to finalize a site by the end of the year. Looks like he is well on his way. So what do you think about the Oakland A's having a waterfront ballpark? Can kind of be facing AT&T Park over across the bay in San Francisco.
So it sounds more the long lines of McCovey Cove type of feel.
Yes, it would actually be that because right field, under this picture, right field would have the water behind it.
Hmm, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. But we know the A's have had issues in the past. Do you think that with the Oakland Raiders moving, that'll affect this deal positively in getting a deal done for the Athletics?
Because
there is a second project to redevelop the Coliseum to more of a baseball stadium. Like, take what they have now and redo it.
Maybe.
I feel like that'd be incredibly hard to redo a stadium, though.
Yeah. Redoing it, that's just so expensive. You don't guarantee you're going to have fans coming in to help your revenue. Like, you don't know, because you have to up the price of your stadium. If you're changing your stadium, you got to up the price of your tickets. And who knows if they're going to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where, like, you got to be careful where you are. And I don't think Oakland has the money to really accept higher ticket prices, you know?
Yeah, they do have an attendance issue. That's for sure. Even this year when they were really good.
It's about money. It's all about the money.
Well, even this year when they were really good, they had problems selling, so I'm not sure.
But I think it's the price of their tickets, is it not?
I mean, they're pretty cheap.
I know, but Oakland is, it's not a rich community. Let's be honest.
That's true.
So we have to think of it like that. You got to think about your, who your fan base is. Like with the Yankees in New York, you got a rowdy fan base that's loyal, and it's going to be there regardless of what price it is because of your history of success. Oakland doesn't have a history of success. The Raiders have a history of success. That's why they've always been successful with attendance. And they've always been known as this crazy, hardcore fan base, and they love that. Oakland A's don't really have that kind of fan base.
Yeah, they don't have the same image, that's for sure. Raiders' image is a lot different and more nationally recognized.
Absolutely. Like even in the UK, people know the Raiders logo.
Yeah, it's an image for sure that they bank on. Well, we'll see if this happens. I mean, obviously, it's still an ongoing process, but at least they have announced that they have a location that they're looking to pursue in getting this completed. Anyways, Jeff, anything else you'd like to add in the world of baseball?
I can't wait for the season to start in a year from now.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of trades and things happen here in the next couple weeks as winter meetings approach. Stay with us. Subscribe to our podcast if you haven't yet. We can discuss those things in full detail. Obviously, this time in baseball is a little bit slower, but it'll pick back up here in the next month or so as these trade talks start heating up, as free agents start signing deals. So thanks for joining us. Again, GSMC Podcast Network. We cover sports, football, baseball, basketball, fantasy football, and soccer. So check out those if you have not already. We'd love to have you. So thanks for your time.
Everyone's welcome, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.